And I thought that was going to hold. That high consolidation held for 4.1 months after the top in late January and 2.3 months after the bottom in March. And the longer a technical trend is established, the more durable it is. But last Friday, everything just fell out of bed. The moment that latest jobs report was released, which was a huge upside surprise, the reported headline jobs in the U.S. in May more than doubled the Wall Street estimates. Plus, past two-month revisions, which are usually negative, were hugely positive. Added another 93,000 jobs, then maybe I think plus 180 in the headline. And the wages inflation data was good. And all of a sudden, gold traders started fearing Fed rate hikes again. The dollar surged pretty dramatically, and gold sold off hard. And from that moment, it's been almost free-falling since then, taking the correction into new territory. Now it's a bear market, actually, as we talk on June. What is it, the 10th today? You know, gold's down about 24% from that January peak.
Adam Hamilton, Zeal LLC, good afternoon to you, my friend. It's been a little while. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Andy. It's so great to chat with you again.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on. And just to shout out to you, and just so all my viewers and listeners know, if they were to watch the video we did in February, you were stating how overbought the gold market was and the mining stocks. And I believe you stated, don't quote me on this, but well, I'll go on the record and saying this, and I believe this is true, is I think you were all out or mostly out of everything. And just in the quote you made is, things that go parabolic up have a tendency to do this something similar on the downside. So you were out. Where are we at now? And just give me your thought process and just what you're thinking as where we're at now in June of 26.
Thanks so much for having me, Andy. Yeah, we were out then. You know, late January, gold was shooting parabolic. It was popular speculative mania-like. You know, CNBC, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal had huge, tons of bullish coverage on gold that you saw, your viewers saw. And at one point in late January, at the very top, gold hit a 45.9-year high in overboughtness. That's just measuring gold relative to its 200-day moving average as a multiple. Just the 200 EMA is a good baseline just to kind of distill out the wild volatility and something. So gold had not been more overbought since March 1980. You know, that's just incredible. Half century, essentially, high in overboughtness. We'd gotten stopped out a bit earlier than that, so we were out. I was looking for a reckoning. This bull that just finished, gold almost tripled in a little over 2 years, like up 196%, without a single 10% correction. So it was the biggest US dollar denominated cyclical bull market and record for gold, absolutely massive. And so I looked at the next 10 largest cyclical bulls since 1971, which was when gold left, or the dollar left the gold standard. So gold finally could free float versus the dollar or vice versa. And the average drawdown in the next 10 largest bulls was 20.8% over 2.1 months. So back when we talked then, Andy, as you recall, I was looking for something like that, 20-25%-ish over a couple months. And so, yeah, things have changed tremendously since then, though. Gold did sell off. It fell into late March. In mid-March, the Central Bank of Turkey sold a ton of gold. After Trump launched his war with Iran, Turkey got into big trouble. That economy has been in trouble for a long time. Huge inflation, all kinds of economic problems. And they import 9/10 of their crude oil and oil products. And so when oil skyrocketed 50% on that Iran war, Turkey had huge problems. Their currency, the lira, started free falling. So the central bank dumped a huge amount of gold in mid-March. 1 week saw like 58 metric tons, which is a huge amount. And Turkey's central bank didn't have trivial holdings. I think it was like top 12 in the world as far as total central bank holdings before it started selling in mid-March. But anyway, when we got around mid-March, gold had fallen about 18.5% over 1.8 months. So we're getting really close to that 21%-ish, that next 10 largest cyclical bull percentage. And at that point, gold entered what I thought was a high consolidation. Until this past Friday, which was Jobs Friday in June, the May jobs report, gold traded in the high consolidation range between late March's bottom and late January's peak, about $1,000 price range. And I thought that was going to hold. That high consolidation held for 4.1 months after the top in late January and 2.3 months after the bottom in March. And the longer a technical trend is established, the more durable it is. But last Friday, everything just fell out of bed. The moment that latest jobs report was released, which was a huge upside surprise, the reported headline jobs in the U.S. in May more than doubled the Wall Street estimates. Plus, past two-month revisions, which are usually negative, were hugely positive. Added another 93,000 jobs. then maybe a plus, I think like a plus 180 in the headline. And the wages inflation data was good. And all of a sudden, gold traders started fearing Fed rate hikes again. The dollar surged pretty dramatically, and gold sold off hard. And from that moment, it's been almost free falling since then, taking the correction into new territory. Now it's a bear market, actually. As we talk on June, what is it, the 10th today, gold's down about 24% from that January peak. And so, yeah, we're in a full-blown bear market now. The high consolidation failed last week, and but we did get our reckoning, and gold is radically less overbought, actually oversold now. It's the least overbought it's been in several years, and so gold's looking pretty good. I'm surprised that reckoning, that high consolidation, took 4 months to roll over into a correction or bear market, but here we are. So that's what's going on.
So here we are, and then what is your thoughts on, is this a good place to enter, or is this a, something you want to see some consolidation or some reconsolidation at these levels? Part of me, and I'm not speaking for you, but part of myself, I wanted to see the settlement myself. You don't want to catch a falling knife. That being said, it's looking very, very interesting to me just because of the sentiment is so negative on it now, correct?
I agree 100% with you, Andy. Gold just that drop, that breakdown from the high consolidation, that sideways drift, that just happened in the past 3 trading days. So like you, it's too fresh, too new. I want to see what happens the next week or two or three to see if gold can stabilize here. I think it probably can for a variety of reasons can get into if you're interested. But also June is the summer doldrums. It's the weakest time of the year seasonally for gold. And so gold tends to drift sideways or lower in June. This month is devoid of big cultural and income cycle drivers of demand that feed gold's autumn, winter, and spring rallies, seasonal rallies. And so June's just a weak time of the year seasonally for gold. And so I'd like to wait a couple weeks at least and see what happens as well. Next week, as you know, we have the first FOMC meeting under Trump's new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. And he's probably not going to hike rates. He's definitely not going to cut rates with the war inflation. But nevertheless, he might say something that spooks markets, moves the dollar, moves the stock markets, moves gold. So I kind of like to get past that first Fed meeting with a new Fed chair as well to see what gold does. But from a lot of standpoints, especially overboughtness, oversoldness, speculators' gold futures positioning, American stock investors' allocations to gold, it's looking really bullish here. I'm getting excited to start buying in size.
Yeah, why do you think we'll have a consolidation in around this area? What are the reasons for that?
Everybody's kind of wary of it. Before
Yeah, I'm
this,
glad you said that too. Go ahead. I'm really glad you
no,
said it.
please, please. Before this drop starting on Jobs Friday, at the exact moment that jobs report was released, gold was doing fine. Again, that high consolidation was 4 months old. And speculators were so complacent about that. Gold future speculators that trade at huge leverage, 20 times plus leverage, they thought this thing was going to last too by virtue of their positioning. They had the lowest long positioning, Andy, in like 3.5 years, which is incredible. That was well before that last monster record bull started, because that lasted a little over 2 years. And their shorts just fell to, I think, a 19-year secular low. So they were just kind of like, gold's going to drift here. It's stable here. And so I think they were caught off guard by that big plunge on Jobs Friday and the subsequent couple trading days of drops. And I want to see what those guys do, because when you're trading at 20 times plus leverage, you can really bully gold around. And their trading has nothing to do with fundamentals. They couldn't care less what happens next month with gold. They just care if they're going to get obliterated if gold moves 5% in a day and they lose 100% of their capital risk because of their crazy leverage. So I got to see what these guys do, what they think, how it's going to stabilize. It should, because of their positioning. Generally, the biggest risk for gold selling off hard is if gold future speculators have really high long positions, upside bets on gold relative to recent history. And they're just a hair off a 3.6-year low right now. So they really don't have lots of room to dump longs. And longs outnumber shorts by an average of like 4.3 times over the past year. So they're proportionally more important to gold's near future direction than shorts. I suspect there was heavy, heavy gold futures shorting last Friday, Jobs Friday. But we won't know that till this coming Friday when the next Commitments of Traders report is released. But I'd like to see that in the Fed meeting, maybe two COTs to see what the speculators are doing. And they rule gold over the short term. They're just. They have so much leverage, so much price power, especially in this light, low volume June month. So we just got to see what they do.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the Commitment Traders report and just how to read that. And I say that I do know, and I'm very familiar with it myself, but just to all of my viewers and listeners that are not familiar with it.
So it's published, these are weekly reports published by the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. They're current to Tuesday closes, at least for gold, silver, US dollar index futures. But they're not published till late Friday afternoons at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, right before the market's closed. And futures just allows crazy leverage. Like in the stock markets, the legal limit for leverage for margin has been 50% or two times leverage since I think 1974. There's like a Federal Reserve Regulation T that limited leverage in stock markets because of the 1929 crash and you know, just what happened in the stock bear in the mid-70s. But the futures guys can run crazy leverage. I say 20 times in gold futures. It's been 25, 26, 27 times in the past when volatility is less. And so at 20 times, you can bet $100 on the directionality of gold by just putting $5 in a trading account, you know. So it's huge leverage and it's so risky. You know, if gold moves 1%, you take a 20% gain or loss depending on your bet. And so these guys just have outsized influence on gold. And I so wish, Andy, that those reports were released daily, because gold's really volatile on a daily basis sometimes. It'd be nice to know what those guys are doing. But we just get once a week resolution, which is way too low, in my opinion. You know, that's been happening since 1986. Now we're in the computer era where all this stuff is digitized, instantly available somewhere. I wish the CFTC would publish COTs more often than weekly. But, you know, again, that's what we have. So we got to use it.
Yeah, well, explain to me how to read that, or I know how to read it. So, but just to all of our viewers and listeners, so if they're looking at the speculators are historically or abnormally long, what does that mean?
So there's basically two classes, at least in the classic COTs. There was a big reclassification, I don't know, 7, 10 years ago that changed this. But I do the old school,
Me
the
too.
breakdowns. Good, yeah. And so there's two categories of traders. There's commercials. Technically, they're supposed to use gold, either produce gold or consume gold in their businesses. So you think of miners, jewelers, you know, people who actually need the physical commodity, and those they use futures to hedge their either input prices or their selling prices, which is a totally righteous use for them. You know, a lot of gold miners, they can't get loans to build gold mines, build expansions unless they hedge some of their production. I hate hedging from a mining investor standpoint, but if I was a banker, I'd totally understand that because gold's volatile and you want to make sure that if you're giving a, you know, $300-$500 million loan or line of credit, that the miner can pay it back after they build this expansion. Then offsetting the commercials, the hedgers trades are the speculators. The old school COTs divided into large and small speculators. I just add those two together. I don't really make a distinction between them. I mean, I look at all three categories every week, but I just kind of lump in all the speculators. And those guys are pretty much just betting on gold if they're classed properly. So they're making directional bets to offset what the commercial hedgers are doing. And it's the speculator's positioning that's most important to gold's near-term direction. That's what we're looking at.
Got it. Talk to me a little bit about the miners that it's been equally, if not worse, in a bloody sense for the miners. What's your thoughts on them? And are you looking to pick things up as things potentially get a new trading range or a bottom in sometime soon in this month?
Well, Andy, I've been picking for a while, not very successfully. Back in mid and late March, we started adding new trades in fundamentally superior mid-tier and junior gold miners, the area we specialize in at Zeal and have for a quarter century plus. It looked like a durable bottom in gold back at that time. It looked like good gold stock buy. And we had a really good rally into April. You know, gold rallied pretty good. Gold stocks rallied really well, you know, 20, 25, 30% gains. And then gold started rolling over again, going back to lower end of its high consolidation. So gold stocks drifted lower. We got stopped out of some positions. And since Friday's Jobs Friday plunge, we've gotten stopped out of everything on that gold high consolidation breakdown. And so I'm looking to get back in. Still looking for the smaller mid-tiers and juniors. Their earnings reported for Q1 in mid-May were just absolutely spectacular. Whether talking about major gold miners, mid-tiers, juniors. They all just made unbelievable amounts of money with Q1 having record high gold prices, despite gold's, you know, sharp correction into late March. The average price is still record high. And so these guys, these companies are earning money hand over fist. There's lots of trailing 12-month price to earnings ratios in the single digits, tons in the low teens.
Lot.
Yeah, like the whole sector pretty much.
Right.
This is pretty crazy. I don't know, 40 quarters in a row, I've carefully analyzed the latest quarterly results from the GDX Top 25 and GDXJ, the mid-tier junior index ETFs. Two separate analytical projects, research threads, two separate essays are right at the end of every quarterly earnings season. And in the past 10 years, Andy, the past 40 quarters, the GDX Top 25 and GDXJ Top 25 have never had lower average TTM PEs than Q1 26, despite their highest average prices on record. I think that's so amazing. So gold
Right.
stocks are as cheap now, or were as cheap in mid-May as they've been in a decade plus. And now they're cheaper, of course. They've gotten hammered after this Jobs Friday gold sell-off. But I'm looking to get back in. Again, want to see gold stabilize a bit. I like the companies we've been trading recently. I'll probably try to establish new positions in those. Not knowing when a bottom happens, what we tend to do at Zeal is we tend to gradually add trades. We try to layer in trades over a period of time, maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 2 months, to try to straddle whatever the bottom's going to be. So I kind of want to see what happens with that Fed meeting and with the next couple of COTs. But then we got to get buying if gold is stable and it looks good, because gold's autumn rally tends to start in mid-July at the latest. And that's a pretty strong one running into late September. And there's so many bullish factors for gold fundamentally. I really want to be deployed in it going forward, but I just, with that big Jobs Friday plunge, just waiting a little while again to see what plays out and what the speculators do in gold futures.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the fundamentals, what you see fundamentals. If the Fed, again, this is a guessing game that I don't like to play, and I think I know what you're going to say, but I want to ask the question anyways. Yeah, does that change things if the Fed starts to aggressively raise rates, or just gives an outlook of that they're going to raise rates?
That's a great question, Andy. I'm a contrarian, but I try to back all my contrary thought by research. And so some years ago, 5, 6 years ago, I decided to look at every Fed rate hike cycle since 1971. And I looked at the gold impact from the exact start date of the first hike to the final hike of those rate hike cycles. And there were back when I did that research, there were a dozen cycles, dozen rate hike cycles historically. And everybody thinks gold's doomed when the Fed hikes rates, right? Like rate hikes are bad for gold. Gold's a sterile asset, no yields. You know, why not buy treasuries if the yields are going higher, or if they are higher? And so I found, to my surprise, that in 8 of those 12 Fed rate hike cycles, gold rallied. The average gain across all 12, I don't have the exact number, but like 29% through
Oh,
the rate hike
wow.
cycle. Now, I didn't look at the drawdowns within rate hike cycles, which I need to do. I think I need to redo this research project. Also, there was a 13th rate hike cycle in like 2022, 2023, and that hammered gold sharply lower. Gold fell like 20% within it. But across that whole monster rate hike cycle, that was 525 basis points, included four individual 75 basis point monster hikes, just incredibly violent, aggressive rate hike cycle. Gold actually rallied 3.0% from the start date to the end of that rate hike cycle. And you know, that started off zero, as did the previous 12th rate hike cycle since 1971, a ZERP, zero interest rate policy. And right now, I think the Fed rates are like 3.63%, the federal funds rate. And so the Fed's not going to do a crazy violent rate hike cycle. After that morning of that Jobs Friday report, the latest non-farm payrolls report, the after that report hit the wires, the federal funds futures expectations for rate hikes in 2026 were for one single 25 basis point hike by year end. I mean, that's nothing. That's not even a rate hike cycle.
Right.
And I can't imagine, maybe Warsh will do one token hike this year. Maybe if the war inflation persists, I think it will for a lot of reasons, but at worst, I can't imagine him doing more than two. I mean, Trump handpicked this guy because Trump thought he'd lower rates. That was a big focus of Trump when he was trying to pick a new Fed chair. And he's been riding Jay Powell like crazy for his whole second term to lower rates. And starting at 3.63%, there's just not going to be a big rate hike cycle. Maybe a token hike, maybe two on the outside. And that should be nothing for gold. Gold should just look through that like it doesn't even exist. The main thing, though, is gold futures speculators can get freaked out and sell when the dollar rallies and the US dollar rallies when the federal funds rate implied trajectory rises on key economic data like on Jobs Friday here. And so there could be some short-term volatility, short-term sell-offs on key data if we get a hot CPI, PPI, PCE inflation, something like that. But overall, gold should do just fine with a hike or two. And even if we got a full rate hike cycle, it wouldn't be very violent. And I found there were two major determinants, Andy, of gold's performance through past Fed rate hike cycles. Number one was how violent they were. If the Fed hikes really aggressively, gold tends to get hit harder. Number two is how overbought or oversold was gold heading into those rate hike cycles. And right now, gold is back under its 200-day moving average, and it's nothing like late January when it was, 44% above its 200 EMA or whatever, that 46-year high. And so I'm not worried at all about the coming Fed rate hikes. I think they're a non-factor for gold, honestly.
Yeah. About that too, and this might be a little conspiratorial, but I think they have to raise rates, or I don't want to say raise rates. I think they have to give the perception of raising rates in order to protect the dollar and the bond market. And I say that they have to do that short term and then to lower rates, probably 6 to 12 months out. Is that something in your thought process?
Yeah, they probably will because inflation's running so far like double the Fed's 2% target. It's been above the Fed's 2% target for years and years and years, you know, since certainly since the COVID lockdowns, probably earlier. I haven't looked at that recently. But so the Fed has forward guidance. It has during an FOMC meeting, there's eight of these a year. They happen every 6 weeks or so. The main thing the Fed used to do is release a statement, just three or four paragraphs says, this is kind of our outlook. This is what we might do with rates. And so they probably will up their forward guidance. There was a big dissent at the last FOMC meeting. I think four of the 12 members dissented, and three of those 12 thought that the guidance, the outlook was too dovish. So I think they're going to have to go to a hawkish stance in the next FOMC statement next Wednesday. And I'm kind of worried that that'll affect gold short term, as you're alluding to here. But, you know, once they essentially have one chance, one time they're going to do that to shift from the perceived dovish bias today to hawkish. And after that, it's over, right? They're hawkish. They have a hawkish bias going forward. Another thing is Kevin Warsh has spoken out against something called the summary of economic projections. That's when the top 12, the Federal Open Market Committee officials, there's 12 who vote, but there's more, the regional Fed presidents, like 18-ish. All those guys like submit their projections for like the end of this year, end of next year, end of the following year. And then they put those in a document. And a lot of people for years kind of took that as gospel, like that's what the Fed's going to do. And the Fed officials themselves, including Powell, like, no, this isn't a prediction. This is just what we think based on current conditions. But Trump's Fed guy, Kevin Warsh, has spoke out against the summary of economic projections, particularly the dot plot, which is where they project the federal funds rate. And
Has
hopefully
he
he gets rid
really?
of that thing because it's really moved gold and the dollar and stock markets. And if you look back at the dot plot's record of forecasting the future, it's absolutely just dismally, dreadfully horrible.
Yeah,
And
it's
so if we get
garbage.
rid of that, there'll be less chance for hawkish outlooks of individual Fed officials amalgamated to move gold. And so I think we get that one shift to hawkish, and after that, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, again, leaning on the fundamentals here. Do you see more central bank buying of gold? And you mentioned Turkey, they just dumped it a lot. Do you think that's inevitable of other central banks doing that? Or do you think they're going to be buyers in here?
You know, I think Turkey's situation is pretty unique. I suspect central banks as a whole will continue to buy gold. I mean, there'll be some situations like maybe India, you know, Turkey more, you know, some of the countries that import 9/10 of their oil and oil products, they might need to sell some gold to shore up their currencies. India's rupee also plunged to record lows after the war started. So, like everybody else, I was pretty worried about the gold selling in mid-March. I was wondering if it would catch on. Recently, the value of global central banks' gold holdings surpassed the value of their U.S. Treasury holdings or their dollar holdings, which is just incredible. But you know, who wants to hold dollars with the U.S. government's fiscal situation? You know, we're running $2 trillion a year deficits. The national debt's 39, 40 trillion going up. Interest expense is $1 trillion a year. I mean, the U.S.'s fiscal health is just absolutely horrible. And so why would you want to own that with the U.S. inflating away and all the bond problems and you know, Treasuries. Eventually, U.S. is going to have a problem financing these $2 trillion a year deficits, Andy, as you know. Also, one really interesting backtracking, I was worried about gold. The best global fundamental data on gold is published once a quarter by the World Gold Council. It publishes these fantastic gold demand trends reports, and they're just the best of they're must reads for anybody interested in gold. Easy reads, really well written, tons of graphs and charts and tables, and so. I figured because of that Turkey selling, Q1 would have net central bank selling of gold. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I was shocked to see that the Q1 global gold demand from central banks was just slightly above the 2025's four quarterly
You're
average.
kidding.
Yeah, it was a little bit better, like 1 or 2% better. I'm like, holy cow.
Wow.
And so there was strong gold demand, at least up until the war and overall in the quarter. And I think that'll persist. The alternatives aren't great. You know, there's a lot of big countries that don't like the US's foreign policy or government or stances. You know, China, Russia, they accumulate gold. You know, China just is antagonistic to the US for lots of reasons, and it's been a huge buyer of gold, most of it probably not reported. And Russia just has this huge windfall in oil revenue because of the price jump from the Iran war. And so it's probably going to plow some more of that into gold despite the Ukraine war. I think central banks would be robust buyers, maybe not strong, but robust, solid. relative to past few years. I don't think they're going to become net sellers anytime soon. Either as the World Gold Council, interestingly enough, in that GDT report, and it has the best analysts in the world.
Got it. So if there's some one thing you can leave all the viewers and listeners with, what would be that one thing? Take us through really the next your process through the next few to several weeks here, what to be aware of.
Well, Andy, this is deviating a little bit from your question, but the thing that impresses me most about gold, the single most bullish factor, the reason I want to own it, is because if you look at the American stock investors who have the largest pools of capital in the world, just dwarfing everybody else, you look at the value of the S&P 500 stocks, the 500 elite stocks in the U.S., and you compare that to the gold bullion held by the world dominant American GLD IAU and GLDM gold ETFs. That implies that American stock investors' gold portfolio allocations are like 1/3 of 1%,
Right.
0.3%. 1/3 of 1%. I just want to emphasize that. It's not a typo. It's not a mistake. So American stock investors have virtually zero, rounding to zero, gold portfolio allocations. And the U.S. stock markets are in an AI stock bubble. Obviously, SpaceX is going public this week at 94 times
Yeah.
2025's revenues, not earnings, revenues. It's not a profitable company. I mean, the AI mania is just crazy. Stock markets have had one of their sharpest rallies ever since the first of, I've heard, 39 Trump claims that a peace deal is imminent starting in late March. One of the sharpest SPX rallies ever, and the sharpest that wasn't out of like a major bear market low. And so as these stock markets roll over, American stock investors with 0.3% gold portfolio allocations, I think they're going to say, hey, maybe I don't need 100% of my portfolio in tech stocks or 80% or 70%. Maybe I should have a 1% or 2% or 5% allocation in gold. And I just think that's going to be a huge, huge structural tailwind for gold for a long time once these AI bubble stock markets inevitably roll over. And so I think that's the single most bullish factor for gold. And I try to keep that in mind when I worry about short-term volatility, that sell-off of gold over the past few trading days. Just try to keep that big picture fundamental thing is that gold investment allocations are still low, at least in the US. I can't speak for China or India, but I think American stock investors have to come into gold at a bigger scale eventually. I'm not looking for 5% to 10%, but even 1%, even if they triple their allocation, that's a huge, huge tailwind for gold. Hundreds of billions of dollars of capital pouring in, which should make for a great new bull market sooner or later here.
Yeah, excellent. Adam, if people want to read more about you, read about your work, read your work, or consult with you, how do they do that?
Our website is Zeal, ZEALLC.com. Every Friday, I publish a free weekly web essay. We publish also publish a weekly and monthly subscription newsletter. I do private consulting work. Stop by, check it out. We'd love to serve you.
Yeah, I'll put all of that in the show notes below on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks so much, Adam. Great to see you, man. Let's have you on again real soon.
God bless you, Andy. Thanks so much.